When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Get in zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My car really needs a wash.
The $20 Meguiar's bundle includes gold-class car wash for a showroom shine. Get in
zone. And what about my tires?
Just spray the included hot shine tire coating and you're all set. Get in
zone. The inside is not great.
No problem. The quick interior detailer in the bundle can help with that too. Get in zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply.
Born to love. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Ellie. How are you?
I'm good. My name, for those of you who don't know me, is Ellie Kemper.
And I'm Scott Eckert.
This is Born to Love. It's a podcast we host every week where we talk about things we love. And we're joined by a guest to talk about something they love, right?
Yes, absolutely. Every week is exciting. This week is especially exciting because our guest, probably the most distinguished guest we've ever had on the podcast, New York Times opinion columnist Jamelle Bouie. And he's talking to us not about politics or history or important things. He's talking to us about his love of cereal. So that's exciting.
That's exciting. And I do have to, Scott, you used most distinguished guest. I don't want to put, we've had many distinguished guests on. How about he's the most columnist guest?
Another way to put, maybe most intelligent guest, because most of our guests are stupid.
That's another way of putting it.
That's, of course, not true.
What about the most New York Times writer guest?
Yes, the most New York Times writer guest. So I guess we'll leave it at that. We'll set distinguished aside. We don't want to ruffle any feathers.
Well, we'll put intelligent aside, too.
Yes.
All of our guests are intelligent.
They are.
We don't have dummies on the show.
Well,
that was one of our, it's in our mission statement.
Ellie, we did have one dummy, but we won't say who it was.
We had one dummy, and it's that, we're not going to tell you if that podcast has aired or not aired, but there's one dummy, and we're going to have a game at the end of the year where you guess who the dummy was.
Mm-hmm. And if you're right, then you're going to get a coupon to a free Jamba Juice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wrong, then we're not going to let you listen to the podcast anymore. We're going to block it on your phone. Okay.
Ellie, there's something this week that I wanted to share with you because it surprised me how much I love this. It's a new love of mine. I want to see if you're aware of it. I think that I might be born to love Formula One race car driving.
What?
What?
When you started with formula, I honestly, my brain first went to baby formula. I thought, you don't have a baby now. Formula One racing. What's the fourth word?
What's Formula One racing? Formula One race car drive. I'm so new to it. I don't know what it's called. It's Formula One. I'll be honest. I'm more specifically excited about this Netflix documentary series called Drive to Survive, which is, it's behind the scenes of these European race car drivers, Ellie. And
okay.
I'm late to the party. I guess season 5 is finished. It's very, very popular. I just started watching it with my wife. And this is how I would summarize it in short. It is basically Desperate Housewives level cattiness, and then they end up driving 200 miles an hour and crashing into each other. So
okay.
I absolutely love it. It's great.
Okay. Now wait, when they crash into each other, and this is something I've never understood about race car driving, when they are lives lost? I mean, they're not showing that on a show, but when they crash into each other, what happens?
Well, Ellie, the crashes are truly spectacular. They flip over, they explode, they catch on fire, and yes, in fact, some of them do die. None of the main drivers have died in the series so far, thank God. There was a driver who tragically died in Formula 2, which is, of course,
horrible.
A horrible tragedy. And then there's a really harrowing episode, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, where there's a fiery crash, and it truly seems like someone has died. So there is that element to the show, Ellie, but I will tell you the truth. I'm not there for the life and death stuff. I am there for the drama because
I hear you.
These gorgeous European men, Ellie, and let me tell you, they're gorgeous. They're from France. They're from Germany. They're from Italy. They're from the UK. They're from Spain. And the one thing that unites them is their ability to speak English. Thank God, because I don't speak any of those languages. And their hotness. They're hot boys who drive fast cars and they hate each other. And all they do is bicker with one another.
Of course they do.
Because, you know, they're stuck together. The Formula One, the way their season works, they have a different race in a new country around the world. So they fly and they're going to Bahrain and then they're going to Germany and then they're going to South Korea and they do these crazy races. And the only people that they really interact with throughout the year when they're on the road is each other. There's only 20 of them. There's only 20 drivers. They've got their pit crew. They just travel around the world together. They're trapped together and they hate one another. And I love
whoever came up with this idea for a show needs to win a Nobel Prize because everything you just described in the Formula One show is a formula for success because that's all you want. You want people in essentially confinement. They're confined with each other in a moving bubble over the globe and they don't like each other. And also furthermore, Scott, it's not a bunch of like poets trapped together. It's a bunch of testosterone-filled, furious, competitive, I'm assuming very strong men who don't like each other.
Well, Ellie, now it makes it seem like you've seen the show. Are you a Drive to Survive fan?
Your description is so specific and colorful that I know exactly what the show is purely from your description. I never laid eyes on the Formula One. What's the show called? Sorry?
It's called Drive to Survive.
To Survive? No, I have not. I haven't laid eyes on Drive to Survive.
I have one other thing that I want to share about this show, Ellie. So there's 10 teams and each team has two cars. Okay. And spoiler alert, whoever wins the race car race usually just drives the fastest car. So all these drivers, of course, they're very talented, but usually whichever car is fastest wins, right? So what that means is that each and every one of them believe in their minds that they are the best racers. And the only reason they're losing is because they have sucky cars, which is great because it's just like their egos are maintained. Except
right.
Because they have a teammate and that teammate drives the exact same car that they do. In fact, there's only one human being on Earth against whom they're actually competing, like on a level playing field, and it's their own teammate. So normally teammates work together, right? But because of the structure of this crazy sport, the two teammates absolutely loathe each other. 10 out of 10 times, the person that they most hate is their own teammate. And guess what? They crash into each other all the time.
Scott, it's brilliant. I said it before and I'll say it again. It's a brilliant concept for a show. Now, I have a personal anecdote that relates to that show and why I can specifically understand it so great. When I played field hockey in college, did I mention I played field hockey in college?
You were like a field hockey superstar. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. I sat on the bench, everybody. But I did. I was on the team, and our coach during practice, we had when we had to run, she would pit us against each other. So she would pick someone like roughly the same running ability, and you would race against each other. She'd send you off, you know, west on Oak Street, and you'd go east on Oak Street, do a loop, and whoever won. So my point is that she pitted teammate against teammate. And boy, did it make you work hard and resent the teammate. I mean, it's a strange strategy. I don't know why it works, but it does.
But I would be willing to wager that when you were racing against your field hockey teammate, you were not doing it at 200 miles per hour on a rocket ship that with four wheels that can explode at any moment.
That, you know, correct. Everything you said is correct. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Drive to Survive is so good. Scott, I'm so happy you've discovered this show. It clearly has put a spring in your step.
It is. Nothing can get me down. I'm in the perfect mood. I'm in the absolutely perfect mood to talk to a distinguished guest, Jamel Bowie. Like we said, he's a columnist for the New York Times. He's a political analyst for CBS News. In addition to covering history and politics, Jamel is also an accomplished photographer, Ellie. And he co-hosts a movie podcast called Unclear and Present Danger about the political thrillers of the 1990s. Here's why we're talking to him, though. He used to be a professional cereal reviewer for the food website Serious Eats, and he's going to join us and talk about how he was born to love cereal.
I mean, could you love this man anymore?
I mean, unless he were a Formula One race car driver, don't think I could.
That's the only thing he has to add to his resume, and Scott's love will be complete. We are so excited to talk with him about his love of cereal. Stick around, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Jamel Bowie.
Here we are.
Scott and I are we're always excited about our podcast guests. There's no one we've been unexcited about, right, Scott? Except one.
No. Well, no, there's one kidding. That we won't say. We won't say who it is.
We won't say.
That one is not you, Jamel Bowie, New York Times columnist, joining us today to talk about how you were born to love cereal. Is that right, Jamel?
That's right. Yeah, that's actually why I was bred by my parents, specifically for the consumption of cereal.
It's also funny to imagine your parents breeding you.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a better word.
No, but you know what? You know what? It all worked out in the end because you created. Now, I have to say, I did not know about your cereal love until Scott brought it to my attention. And I just have to say from the start, I share in your love of cereal. I love it. I don't know that I'm as knowledgeable about it as you.
I'm not sure I'm that knowledgeable about it either. Let's be clear.
Well, so that's what I want to hear. First of all, for those who don't know, and Jamel, what should I call it? It's not a vlog. It's you've made a series of videos.
Yeah, like cereal reviews. A series of cereal reviews.
A series of, say that six times fast.
Mm.
And they're usually, everyone I've watched is an obscure cereal.
Right. Like, it's never like a Honey Bunches of Oats or like a Corn Flakes. It's always something. I mean, it's not for nothing that half of those reviews I append with, do not buy this for your children.
Right.
Because it's basically just refined sugar, different sorts of refined sugars and artificial flavors, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And like, in usually really bad combination. So there are a couple gimmicks to the thing. The first gimmick is that they're like very serious and kind of sedate most of the time. And that's like an intentional bit. It's sort of like, I'm a New York Times columnist and I'm going to talk to you in a very serious manner about, I don't know, apple caramel Cheerios.
Jolly Rancher.
Which are super gross.
Yep.
Jolly Rancher cereal. Peeps cereal. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is I really like to just find not just the most obscure cereals, but things that are objectively gross.
So you've got this show, the series of reviews that you've done on cereals. It wasn't as if somebody approached you out of nowhere and was like, Jamel Bowie, would you please do that? It must be born, I'm imagining, from a lifelong love of or interest in cereals. And I'm interested sort of in how that started. Like, when did you fall in love with cereal and how has it stuck with you all these years? Because my card's on the table, cereal's fine. But I, as a grown man, I'm not, you know, eating a lot of cereal each morning.
Uh-oh,
so
maybe Jamel is. That's what we want. Okay, tell us. Where did it all start?
Okay, all right, okay. So, like many children, I ate a lot of cereal, sort of like it was the thing I had for breakfast, most common snack, that kind of thing. And I've always liked it. It is, I find like, you know, so much of eating is about like, you know, the sensation and the aesthetic of it. And I do think cereal is almost uniquely pleasurable to eat. It's like it's crunchy, it's cold. I mean, there's a lot of things happening in your mouth that are really nice. And so, like, being a kid, loving cereal, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Frosted Flakes, Reese's Puff cereal, that kind of thing.
Is that what you ate as a kid?
Yeah.
You ate Reese's Puffs cereal as a child? How did that get in your house? Really?
I had my parents.
My parents, Jamie?
No, this is my parents were both in the military and I had like a pretty strict upbringing for the most part. But some things they just like didn't give a shit about. And this was one of them.
I love that that's where they let it slide because it's true. You have to pick your battles.
Right.
Military pun. But yes, that's okay. So they let it. They let it. Okay.
Yeah, that was the thing. They're just like, we're not, you know, whatever.
Who cares? I love that. Okay.
So yeah, I ate Reese's Puffs cereal as a kid. And that kind of just like continued through high school and into college, just like eating cereal on a regular basis, especially late high school and in college when you're just kind of eating all the time. And cereal's another great sort of like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm working on something and I want to eat something, I can eat some cereal. I'm in my 30s. And as I've gotten older, my like cereal consumption has like declined, you know, commensurately, right?
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, you can't just be like eating all that sugar.
I know. I've experienced the same thing, and much to my chagrin, because my problem with cereal is and has always been when to stop.
Yes, yes.
Right? It is very hard to just end a bowl of cereal. It's like, I don't know what it is that I can end a hot dog. I'm done, you know, but not. And so how do you deal with that?
Imagine if you couldn't end eating hot dogs or you just like had to just keep on shoving them in.
Yeah. You're like, it's just bottomless. I don't know. I can't stop. But how do you eat cereal for breakfast now?
No. Like I eat like, you know, a bowl of yogurt and fruit for breakfast. But we still, you know, the kids, I put like, you know, healthy quote unquote cereal in their lunches as a snack. And then I will occasionally eat a bowl of cereal for myself. Like I will buy a box of something for myself that like at night, if I want a sweet treat, I'll have a bowl of cereal.
Is it only for you?
It's mine.
But yeah. I mean, does your wife know? You don't
share. No. I mean, she doesn't. My wife had like the opposite parents, like not very strict about many things, very strict about what they ate.
Fascinating.
So she's not on board with the sugary cereal. It's just hidden away.
She's just like, she's like, what's wrong with you?
So she doesn't even, it's not like you're hiding it from her. She doesn't even want it.
No desire whatsoever. Insofar that it's like hiding, it's really from the kids who are like very, very young. And so it's very stupid. So they go grocery shopping with me. Like I do the grocery shopping. And when we go through the cereal aisle to get like their checks or like their toasted oatmeal squares or whatever. And if I'm going to buy a box of something like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, my oldest will be like, can we have that? And I'll say, well, no, this is grown-up cereal.
Oh. It's quite the opposite. But yeah. But actually, no, you're right. You're the one who's right. It's marketed to kids, but it should be only for grown-ups.
As a parent of two relatively small children, there's plenty of foods that are only grown-up foods. Like, for example, we don't allow our kids to have, like, Diet Coke, but it's, like, quite honestly, one of the only liquids that I consume. The idea, so having a cereal that's a grown-up cereal does make sense. It's funny that it's always the most childish cereal.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, the cereal with the cartoon dog eating cookies, that's grown-up cereal, Carter. That's for daddy.
I've noticed like maybe twice, three times during this conversation and also in your cereal reviews, you do refer to Cinnamon Toast Crunch quite a bit. Is that like the ideal cereal for you?
Oh yeah, I think it's like the perfect cereal. I think it's like a top tier for a bunch of reasons. First of all, it holds up to milk pretty well. Like in the time it takes to eat a bowl of cereal, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is going to hold up. Cinnamon sugar in milk is like kind of a natural, rational flavor combination. Rational, it's like horchata or something like that, right? Like it's found in actual food in the world.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes total sense. The fact that it's not corn, but like it's like wheat, I think is just like a better flavor. Like the corn-based cereals, I'm not the biggest fan of. They have like an aftertaste to me that I don't like all that much. But the wheat, I think, works. And it's like, I mean, it's a testament to how good they are that they haven't really improved on it.
Well, that's exactly right. There's, you never see, like, I mean, it's always crazy when something comes out with a new and better flavor, new and improved flavor, because you think, well, what? They're just like admitting that the original was not good or whatever it
right,
is.
Right.
But cinnamon.
Like those Domino's commercials a while back where it's like, hey, listen, our pizza was. Suck.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that dog that we used to bring you? It's not as bad anymore.
And that is true. I think with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, my limited experience with that specific cereal is that it does retain its crunch. But I am maybe in the minority of people who loves soggy cereal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you?
No.
That was an oh, yeah, like, please tell me more.
Oh. Because, how can I explain it, you know?
No, it's like you're a monster. It's I'm a monster is the
I'm
way
a monster.
You explain
I can't,
it.
Yeah. It's that I don't have to crunch that much. It's a soothing motion. It's a soothing, it's like ice cream. And in fact, little nugget, I've told my son this many times, and I feel like it's like the one story I have that's like cool from my childhood, which is that I used to make my cereal the night before and I would let it soak over at Crispix.
What?
So everything you hate. Oh no. Crispix is corn on one side, wheat on the other.
I love
right?
Crispix. That's
I've
the
never
only
had
cereal
Crispix.
You've never had.
You've never
you're
had
the cereal
Crisp.
Expert and you haven't had Crispix.
Never had it.
I mean, it's pretty boring for
it's
you.
It's pretty boring. It's pretty boring.
Yeah.
But I would make my cereal. Let it sit in milk overnight. That's how much I loved sogginess. But both Jamel and Scott sort of recoiled when I said that.
Overnight is,
it's too much.
It's a long time.
I mean, you've definitely proven that you do like it soggy. You prepared it by letting it leave it. That, I've never heard of that. Seems like a made up story. It's so ludicrous.
I mean, but the funny thing about doing these cereal videos, I mean, aside from the fact that I, at a certain point, I was like legitimately worried that more people knew me as a guy who ate cereal on camera than as like a columnist for the New York Times.
Right, right.
I was sort of like, you know, I have like a day job that like I spend writing about like law and constitutionalism. Like I do that stuff.
Other, there's something on the side, right?
But I have like just learned a lot about how people like eat and enjoy cereal. Like you just have conversations about cereal with people. And so it's like, I met someone who like ate their cereal with water.
Oh, that's
didn't like
disgusting.
Milk. I met someone who does a thing where they have like the dry cereal in a bowl and like the milk in a separate bowl. And they kind of just like cereal milk like that, like separately to keep them separate until the moment they touch the spoon together.
Wait. Takes this dry cereal in a spoon and then just dips
and
it?
And then like scoop it into the milk. And then eat it.
That is so, I cannot understand wanting it to, is it because they want it to be crunchy?
Right, they want it to be crunchy, like, basically, like, the entire time. They don't want any sogginess.
Maximum
it's like the opposite.
Crunch.
They don't want any sogginess.
Yeah, I can't understand that. I just, you know what I mean? It's like another being. I don't get it. But,
I'm personally a little horrified that we're just adding to your nightmare of, we're increasing your renown as the world's foremost cereal expert as opposed to just a thoughtful political and moral thinker, which of course you are as well.
No, it's okay. I've resigned myself to it. It's fine.
Are you recognized on the street? Like, are people like, hey, it's the cereal guy?
Yeah, that's how everyone in New York. Yeah.
And exactly that voice, too. Yeah. I live in Virginia, but like, for whatever reason, everyone sounds like a New Yorker in a bad TV show.
So it's like, I was going to try to do a southern accent, but I was falling down. Howdy there, are partner. You that cereal guy?
Yes, that's how everyone in Virginia.
Yeah, so I mean, like, no one sounds like that. And I'm trying to think.
it was so swift. It was no one sounds like that. And also,
But here's the thing. As far as southern accents, Seville in Virginia, it's like it's upper south, right? And so it's going to be like much more patrician, right? So it's going to be more like, you know, people pronounce their whites with white, right?
Oh.
Like that's more of
yeah,
the,
I know
more
that.
Of the style.
Yeah.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish. Yeah, I can drive. My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
You get these cereals because the cereals that you review are always obscure and I would imagine hard. I mean, I've Googled them and I'm like, I don't know how do you get them?
So because I was doing it with Serious Eats, they would actually send me stuff. Either they would be like, we've seen a bunch of stuff that looks like you might want to try it. We'll send it your way. Or I'll just be like, hey, I want to try this. Can you order it and send it my way?
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the green onion Chex, which is sort of like the
green onion Chex. Oh
yeah. So there's actually an interesting story behind this. Years ago, Kellogg had a survey for South Korean consumers about the next flavor of Chex. And I think it's sort of like a gag. People were like, well, green onion is what we want. And Kellogg is like, we're not going to make green onion Chex. We're not going to do that. And so they didn't. And then a couple years ago, they're like, you know what? We're going to do it. You know, we're going to do it. The people spoke and we were like, we're not going to do this. But it turns out we respect the democratic process enough that we're going to make this green onion Chex. So they produced this green onion Chex flavor. And I saw the commercial for it. And my first thought was like, oh, this could actually be interesting because Chex mix, you know, like a savory
cereal. Yeah, right.
Like a actually sour really well. Cream and onion kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I reached out to my editor at Serious Eats, whose dad actually was an editor at the South Korean newspaper. And his dad was like, oh, we can like ship a box over to you from Seoul, which they did. And I was, my expectations weren't like high, but I was actually like, this could be good. But it turns out that it's not savory. It's sweet.
Hmm.
So it's like a sweetened green onion flavor, which maybe works for a South Korean palate, but for my palate, it's like the worst thing. One of the top 10 worst things I've ever had. It's truly terrible.
When you mentioned it was sweet and you said it so calmly, I was trying to think of any, is there a comparable taste in America? Like a sweet onion?
You can buy a sweet onion.
Yeah. And as I said that, I realized there's a thing called a sweet onion, but I mean like a, you know.
But like there's not really anything Because there's a sweet onion, then there's sweetened.
Right.
And I feel like that's a critical distinction.
Right. Yes, that's it.
Like sweetened with artificial, with extra sugar, with like right. refined sugar, and then artificially flavored like green onion. I don't know if that exists, anything like that exists in the United States.
I can't think that and I'll it be does, honest, yeah.
I'm not even sure it really is a thing in South Korea either. Like, the video, which has me like gagging on the cereal, it's very funny.
you have Schadenfreude for yourself.
I know, yeah, exactly. I'm sorry you had to go through it.
No, but it's a great yeah. gag, pun intended. So some viewers are like, oh, you know, this is kind of problematic because, you know, maybe this is a flavor that, but I've spent enough time in my life in like Asian grocers. And mm-hmm. I've spent enough time in like the snack aisles that I just have like I've never seen anything like that. And so I don't know. I don't know if there is a cultural context I'm missing. Right. But
was it successful then in South Korea? Do we know?
I don't think it was. But I don't think right. it was.
I mean, to me, yes. Of course that does not sound like a good combination at all.
And I'll say, I mean, having said that, there was a lot of stuff that I, you know, at the Walmart, there was like lots of strange cereals, like Dunkaroos cereal, which I never got a chance to review. But,
I've seen that. I mean, but that's what I wanted to ask as well. Like, where are we seeing Jolly Rancher or Elf on a Shelf? Where are we seeing that being sold?
I mean, I think I found Jolly Rancher cereal at the Walmart, just like hanging out at Walmart.
Really?
Elf on the Shelf, we had to order and send this way. Although I'm sure I actually could have found that at the Walmart too. Like, it's like the one Walmart for the area. Like, the next yeah. one is like in a town like 20 miles out. And so there's like a lot of stuff there.
But you have to wonder who is eating those. I mean, really, like, it's this so is bad the thing. For you.
I don't really understand because people tend to settle on like a rotation of cereals that they like. And they tend right. to be pretty conventional things.
Right.
And so I'm
right.
not really certain, other than stoners, who is like buying right. the super weird stuff.
Right.
But someone obviously is because they keep making it. They are not making it as a bit. Like, they're making it because it sells.
That's it. Yeah. Cereal companies generally don't, I would imagine, don't do bits. Because it's not so profitable. But right. it's like,
as a cereal sommelier. Right,
aficionado.
That's basically what you are. I don't know anything about wine, but my friends who do know something about wine, they're like, I'm like, oh, if they're having a dinner party, what should I buy? And they'll tell me, and if they've done a good job, then other people will be like, oh, this wine's really good. If I were to do a similar sort of thing with you, what is a cereal that you might recommend that other people haven't tried? If I introduced it to someone, it would knock their socks off.
Yeah, and I'd steer it'll pair with like a nice chicken Marcella or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That's right. Start with cookie cubes and then go to chicken Marcella.
Yeah.
So obviously, I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch is great. But other than Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I don't actually like super sweet cereals. And so the Quaker toasted oatmeal squares, like all of those flavors, are actually legit great. Those are great cereals. Like the cinnamon, brown sugar, and there's like a maple flavor too. The maple flavor, I'm not the biggest fan of because like artificial maple flavor is not great. But the cinnamon and the brown sugar flavors, top mm-hmm. notch. Great mm-hmm. cereal.
Well, that is sort of leads to a question I have, which is, what is your take on, you know, I think there's a whole, I'm not sure if this always existed and I just never paid attention to it now, but it seems there's a whole market for or demand for, you know, simple ingredient organic cereals. So what it to me, that's like a different, that's in a class, it's just a different category. It's like, that's, I don't know how to describe it. It's health cereal, I guess.
Like Kashi?
No, not even Kashi, I don't think fits the bill. I guess what I'm asking is this. I think of cereal as Kellogg, Post. I think those are the two major ones, I guess. Are those the two major cereal makers?
Yeah, Kellogg, Post, and General Mills.
Oh, General Mills. Yes, sorry, General Mills. And they're making what I like, classic cereals, Honey Nut Cheerios, Frosted Flakes, Corn Pops,
Cheerios. Wheaties.
And that's what I think of as cereal. So do you think of these health cereals as cereal, or maybe you don't even consider them?
No, I think, I mean, not only are they definitely cereal, but they're in a lot of ways, like, they are a throwback to cereal. So like, Kellogg's is named for John Harvey Kellogg, who was like a late 19th century religious guy, health guy. Like today, he'd be like a fitness or health influencer type. Yeah. But back then, like a health influencer had like a big beard and wore suits, right?
Right.
I think he was a eugenicist.
There we go.
So he was a vegetarian, first of all. He thought eating meat made you unhealthy, made you sick mentally and physically. And he created cornflakes. Or sorry, his brother created cornflakes, but he was part of like the marketing and everything. So his brother's also a vegetarian. This is William Keith Kellogg. And they were explicitly made as health foods, like eat this instead of, you know, eggs or bacon or whatever to have a healthier life. I may be mixing up with the guy who created graham crackers. Also, will stop you from masturbating.
That's the guy who created graham crackers said that?
I think it's either the Kellogg guy or the graham cracker guy.
Wow.
But one of them was like, you know, the food you eat may create impure thoughts. And so you got to eat better food. And so eat this instead and you'll stop cranking it. Or whatever the 19th century equivalent of saying cranking it was
which I don't know offhand, but what it was Scott might. No, I don't know. But that is, well, that I'm impressed, or I guess surprised, that somebody in the 19th century would be a vegetarian. I just didn't know that existed. But in any case, cereal's origin was one of health, it seems.
Right.
Or health.
It's sort of an original health food. And so the modern healthy cereals very much are kind of like a return to form.
Right.
Return to formula.
Right. Right. Which, yeah, exactly.
I think that I think that we've done a wonderful job of covering all the cereal bases. And I'm persuaded completely that it's a good thing.
I was already persuaded going into it because I love cereal. And I literally, again, I've said this, like I have to be careful because I find it hard to stop.
The serving sizes, a box proper serving size of cereal is like 3/4 cup. But if you just like get a normal size bowl and fill it with cereal, you have like 2 servings automatically, like
it's
right there.
It's insane.
Oh, those sneaky, sneaky cereal makers. They're so sneaky.
They're very sneaky. What was his name? His last name was Kellogg. It wasn't Kellogg.
It was Kellogg.
It was Kellogg. That's why they called it Kellogg.
William Keith Kellogg.
William Keith Kellogg. What was he up to?
Not masturbating or eating meat.
Not masturbating. That's for sure.
Well, this was fantastic, Jamel. Thank you so much for just really helping us to explore this topic of human concern cereal. We have a game that we like to play with our guests called Love It or Loathe It. You have a couple of minutes to stick around while we do that?
Of course.
Thank you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
my character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new, Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
Jamel, we are going to play a game called Love It or Loathe It. It's a very straightforward game. We're going to lob some items at you, and you will tell us whether you love the item or loathe the item. Key part of this game, there can be no in-between, okay? You either are all in or you're all out, okay?
Okay, all right.
Now, I just want to say, we play this game with all our guests, but you are our first guest whose job is to have opinions. So I think that these carry extra weight. There's a lot of importance. I don't want to intimidate you.
He's rolling his eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
But you should have a strong opinion about every one of these. Okay, ready? Okay, love it or loathe it. Cronuts.
Love it.
Yeah.
I like croissants. I like donuts.
Put them together. And you're not opposed to that, you know, whatever, Frankensteining.
No. Creating hybrid food.
Yes.
Here's a nice political joke. I'm not like George W. Bush complaining about human-animal hybrids in the 2005 State of the Union.
Yes. I knew it. I was thinking the same thing.
When it comes to baking, I'm no G.W. Bush.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah. You embrace the hybrid. I do too. I know some people who can't stand a Krona, and I think, what are you talking about? It's only delicious. So I'm glad that you also love it.
We have a bakery in town that does like a pretzel croissant that is incredible. It's unbelievable.
I was imagining a croissant in the shape of a pretzel, but I believe it must be a pretzel in the shape of a croissant. Or what is it?
Like,
you tell me.
It has like the crust of a pretzel, but like the layers of a croissant.
Yum! It's flaky inside.
Is it salted? Does it have the big pretzel salt on it?
Yeah, it has like, you can get it with just salt or like everything seasoning. It's really buttery.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Love it or loathe it, Jamel. Selfies.
I love it. I'm a narcissist, whatever.
Whoa, I love selfies too, but one reason we put it on the list here is that you are something of a photography expert, one of your many areas of expertise.
I never actually take photos of myself, and I'm not actually a narcissist. It's just a joke.
For the record, not a narcissist.
not a narcissist. But selfies are fun, you know? Like, what's the... I know there are some people who are like, oh, people take selfies or too obsessed with their phones. I'm just kind of like, it's fun. It's a fun thing to do.
Brings me such comfort to hear you say that, because I constantly think what is happening and it's selfies. And if you have that approach, which is it's a selfie, it's fun, move on to the next thing, I think that's much healthier. So thanks for sharing that. Okay, now I'm looking forward to this answer. Love it or loathe it, Jamel. Pop-Tarts / toaster strudel.
F***ing love it.
Do you eat them for breakfast?
No, not at all. I mean, those are totally a dessert. And very rarely, when I'm having like the craving, I'll buy a pack, and then I'll have like one for dessert or something.
One, because there's two in a pack usually, right?
Yeah, it's two in a pack, yeah. And I can't in good conscience eat two of those things. Yeah. But like pop one of them, pop a brown sugar one in the toaster.
And so you do. And yeah. I was going to ask you that next. Do you use the toaster?
Yeah. I pop them in the toaster, a toaster oven or whatever. Yeah.
You got it. You got a toaster.
No, Scott, you got a toaster. Some people just eat them out of the pack.
Nah, those people, monsters.
Eat them loose.
Yeah. They eat them loose and fancy free.
It is funny that they put them in two in a pack in those foil packs. Like how would the world be if they just put three in?
Right.
I think that a lot of people would just eat a third one, right? love it or loathe it, just as context, Jamel hosts a podcast called Unclear and Present Danger that I listen to about politics and the movies of the 1990s. There's one movie that I can't wait for you guys to review, and I need to know now if you love it or loathe it. I'm making a guess ahead of time. Crimson Tide.
Oh, love it.
One of the best movies ever made, right?
Love it. It's so much fun. I love Gene Hackman. I'm a big Gene Hackman fan. I think that guy's great. I think it's great how he, I mean, on screen and in real life, apparently, was kind of a big jerk.
Oh, I didn't know.
Plays a big jerk in that film of applausibly horrible guy.
Jerk is maybe too strong. Just a very intense guy. And I think he uses that intensity very well on the screen. I'm also fond of it because my parents, as I mentioned, in the military, were in the Navy. They weren't submariners, but we knew people who were, who did work on submarines. And so I basically have like a lot of like affection for, you know, military thrillers, Navy thrillers specifically. And then like, just because I grew up around lots of, you know, Black people in the military, just like Black people in the military in movies, you know, it's reminds me of being a kid. So,
yeah. Yeah. All good reasons to love it. Jamel, love it or loathe it. Soup. The food.
Love it. Don't eat it as much anymore because little kids have a really hard time eating soup.
Yeah.
Pre-kids made soup all the time because nothing better than a big bowl of soup and some bread. I like my cereal crunchy. I like my soups very brothy. I love a brothy soup. Oh,
fascinating, because that's quite different from the you don't chew with a brothy soup. Oh, but does that even fill you up?
I mean, it depends, right? Like sometimes, like a brothy soup with lots of noodles and stuff, obviously. But like sometimes I am 100% satisfied by just like a glorified bowl of broth with like lots of, you know, green onions and like grated ginger, like lots of that stuff thrown in that I can just like drink. Right. I love that.
Drink it out of a thermos, not with a spoon. last one, Jamel.
Oh,
AI. Love it or loathe it. Artificial intelligence.
He knows. What if he didn't know what it was?
It's for the listeners, everyone.
AI.
Oh, yeah, it's for the listeners. Okay.
I was trying to think of what else could stand for AI, and then I just not quick enough.
I don't know. Also, wait, you guys, my whole thing, I have to say this before you answer. I'm sorry to interrupt you. But I want everyone to start doing A period, I period, right? Because it just looks like it's Al everywhere. It's Al. And it's because it's never the I. I don't know what you call that. The I with the
Yeah, with the
the things on the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
It's never serif.
Yeah, it's never serif.
Yeah, it looks like Al. And so it's like, yeah, I'm asking Al to write my paper.
Who is Al? Who is he? Why is he under such scrutiny? Okay.
Al's going to destroy us all. What's going on? I'm going to say loathe it for two reasons. One of them, not that serious. The other, I guess, kind of serious. The not that serious one is that I'm just kind of tired of reading stories by people who are like, you know, the AI has feelings and it's blah, blah, blah. It's developing its own personality. No, it's not. It's a natural language generator and you're just projecting things onto it, but it does not know anything. It's just like giving you, based off of a bunch of content that's been, it's analyzed, it's giving you something that sounds like a facsimile of what you've asked it. So chill out. You know, it's not the movies. It's not Skynet. I'm actually kind of annoyed by that, all that discourse, but like, that's the less serious. The more serious one is that, like so many things, the actual, you know, so much of the technological innovation behind AI involves like the exploitation of low wage labor of people in other countries who are being paid very little money to do all the grunt work to make this stuff work. And they are invisible. And what is visible is this little chat box on your computer and the Kenyan workers who are responsible for making that thing work essentially are not visible. And insofar that AI is built on and also like erasing the work of these workers, I loathe it. You know, I think a group of them recently unionized, which is like good for them.
Great.
Good for the Kenyan AI workers. I happen to agree with you 100%. Ellie loves AI, though.
Scott, you know? He's joking.
I'm joking.
He's trying to humiliate me.
Thank you so much, Jamel. You do a million things, obviously. Before we go, is there anything that you want anyone who's listening to this to check out? Anything you want to plug?
You can read my column with the New York Times. It's usually every Tuesdays and Fridays. And my podcast, Unclear and Present Danger, about the political and military thrillers of the 1990s and what they say about the politics of that decade. Yeah, and that's pretty much, those are the two things that, you know, I do a lot. I'm on TikTok too, and I make jokes on TikTok. My TikTok handle is just at Jamel Bowie.
Follow him there, everybody. Jamel,
yeah.
Thank you so much. It has been an honor and a pleasure talking with you. Thank you for making time for us.
Thank you for having me, both of y'all. Really, it's been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Jamel.
Thank you, Jamel. Just a quick note, this interview was recorded before the SAG strike. So take that for what you will, and our solidarity to everyone striking out there for...
a better contract.
For a better contract. Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dinkla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to steal a moment for yourself before the week ahead. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.